You sure?
Yes, sir.
This is a tough committee, Marcy.
It is.
You're right. You're exactly right. Okay. I would like to call this Finance Committee meeting of Monday, March the 2nd to order. The first item of business is the approval of the minutes from the January 6th meeting.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are passed. We have the next item, which is for public comments, and we would welcome anyone for any reason to take 2 minutes and come to the podium and speak. I will say this before you speak, since you're a nice person, is at this is not 2 minutes and 5 seconds. This is 2 minutes, and I time it, and okay.
Got it.
All right, thank you so much. Go ahead.
No problem.
Wendy Bauer Schmidt, 1320 Woodlake Court. We have our first workforce housing project in the works, and we are currently selling, and we want to do more. And the town really needs more so that we have a workforce that can provide essential services and to help reduce traffic. And that's why when you're considering the budget, I ask you to consider funding exemption grant program. That's an ordinance that funds impact fees. And it is on a first-come, first-served basis until it's used. And there is currently $20,000 in the budget, which would satisfy about 3 units. And we need much more. So I ask you to consider that in the budget, as well as, you know, in general funding workforce housing. Thank you. I think that's less than 2 minutes.
That was really good, Wendy. That was like less than a minute. Are there any other comments by anyone? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we're going to move into the budget. And Marcy, we're just going to hand you the ball and let you educate us.
All right, yes, sir. So good morning. I will be presenting information regarding the fiscal year 2021 proposed budget. First are the general fund revenues. Overall, general fund revenues from 20 to fiscal year 2021 increased 4%. This is the same slide that was discussed when Mr. DeMore presented the budget. So now I'm going to give you a little bit more information. Revenues begin on page 6 of your budget document. As noted, current taxes, which typically increase 3% a year, are up 3.6% for fiscal year 2021. What we do is we take the actual assessment that we receive from the county, and we add in the values of the certificate of occupancies that occurred in calendar year 2019. Also, and what we typically have is, say, about $50 million worth of non-residential appraised values. We received another $95 million on top of that, and that's why you have that extra increase over our typical growth. Also, we have local sales tax, which are also increasing based on trend analysis, and that's that local option sales tax.
I promise not to ask too many questions, but okay. Okay, didn't mean to jump in. Can you tell us, since you said $95 million of increases, what are the major components of that? What are the major projects that increased our property taxes?
So COs were issued in 2019 to things such as Park West Veterinarian, Home Depot, Taco Bell, Hyatt, Lowe's Food Store, Costco, Staybridge, Greenwise, CVS. So you can see that it was just, and there were more, but above normal, above our typical. So when we project out growth, we're looking at something more in the $50 million range. This came in at $145 million non-residential appraised value.
So what about the Ferry Wharf office building that now is going to house both Merrill Lynch consolidated offices and I think Palmetto Security, bonding folks, there's a number of things in there. Do any of those, is that building, I think, is it Turner that owns that? Holder is the name
Holder
of the company.
Name.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, not for fiscal year 2021, which will be based on December 31st, 2019. So we have two known values. We have what the county gave us for calendar year through 2018, December 31st, and then what we actually issued here. So we take those two values for 2021, and that's what we should be getting in the fall from the county.
So I guess my question, this is, I know it sounds specific, but it's really more general. When does something new like that, I mean, they're open, they're in business, they're there. When does that start paying taxes, property taxes to the town?
The value that we build the budget on that the county gives us each year is as of December 31st.
Of 2019?
Yes, ma'am.
And as of that point, it was just, it was the base of, it was the building itself. I mean, it would always be the building itself, but
yes,
so
ma'am.
Nothing else for Ferry Wharf, none of the embassy suites or any of that stuff, none of that's going to count until next year.
Correct. And when I do this calculation, I look at really the big pictures because I don't know the actual till I get it, but I anticipate the big pieces, and as you can see by these. So we won't get those values until fall of 2021 for fiscal year 2022.
Okay, thank you.
Also, notable changes, just as you look through, insurance licenses. So this continues to be an area that's growing. The license based on town residents that have insured property, whether it's cars or houses or even life insurance. This increase is really reflective of what we're seeing as growth in the town, both in population and in property. The highway safety grant was not included. You approved it last year with the anticipation of a position. The position was not added. It's not anticipated to be added. They changed the rules, the feds changed the rules, and we can use existing staff to perform those duties, but they also didn't guarantee the grant. So for next year, we're not, we'll reapply. In fact, Mr. DeMoor just approved us reapplying, but we have not yet been awarded, and we don't know if we will. On page 7, the next page of revenues, under intergovernmental, you'll see an increase from SCDOT for maintenance funds, and that directly correlates with an expenditure account in transportation. When they spend it, this is the money that the state pays as their portion of those expenses. And an increase, and I just like this one, I'm sorry, it's the Transportation Network Act, which is ride sharing. So any trips that generate from Mount Pleasant, we're getting a portion of it, and we're continuing to see that increase. Just kind of, you know, fast name for us geeky people. So under page 8 is the transfers in, and this transfer in typically supports positions from certain special revenues that fund them, but it also, you'll see that it has accommodations tax coming in to support our commitment to the Medal of Honor Museum for fiscal year 2021. And the last is under the use of fund balance. There's a slight decrease. In our current year, we had anticipated using some of that fund balance to support the SAFER grant if it was awarded. But now those positions, those six positions are being, the town's portion is being picked up by ongoing revenues. So that's a slight decrease of the use of fund balance. Any other thoughts on, yes, sir?
As you mentioned, the accommodations tax funding for the Medal of Honor. I know that we've had discussions here about the way the county has decreased our amount. Do we have any update on that? And that is going to happen. That's
yes, sir, for the foreseeable future.
And that is an impact of how much?
It went from 370.
It went
no,
down
the difference is $370,000. From
okay,
500-ish
to... Yeah, that's big.
Yes.
Yeah,
so not right. So we're having to come up with our $600,000
right.
over the next 3 years and having to do it with that less money, and that
right.
would be a funding source
yeah,
for
no
that
question.
Area.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to ask.
Sure.
On that note, there's two or three things about this that I'm just wondering our possibilities. So one is... their justification was, well, we did this with the African American Museum. That's all they kept saying. They gave you a little warning, we got a little warning, but then all of a sudden, boom, basically about the same time as we, I think the night that we were voting was the night when we all became aware, although I think we were told on Friday or something. So there wasn't any time to go back and talk to them. There wasn't any time to even attempt negotiation. And then I tried to bring it up. I think we talked about it in this meeting about maybe going and having a couple of us go talk to them. Not that we're going to change their mind, but just to do it. And then that got nixed really quickly. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, first, let's start with the thing that is possible. Are we in some way because of either... I'm trying to think, some of the hotels that have opened recently or some of the restaurants that have, is there anything about ATAC that is going up in the next year that is going to help us offset? And of course, I know long term we would think that the Medal of Honor Museum would actually help bring more visitors and people staying here, but in the short term, is there anything going up that helps us offset that?
So in talking with the county's budget staff, when they allocate their county accommodations tax, they developed a methodology. And the methodology said 25% of what kind of is generated in that area would go back to that area unless you have a project. And if you have a project, then we'll only give you back 10%. Well, up until the current year, we did not have a project, so we were receiving over $500,000. So in the current year, it is an impact because the current year they reduced it. And because they were funding that along with other things, they actually reduced us to 9%. So we went from 25% to 9%. So that's about $178,000 that we'll receive from county accommodations tax. So as they forecast, this is what they said to me, is Mount Pleasant's one of the one areas that continues to increase. So as the county is trending out who gets what, they do see us continuing to increase, as do our numbers. Not as large an increase as we've seen in the past, but we're still 3 to 4% potentially increasing in that area. And they also recognize that. And that's how the calculation came to be about for the decrease in county accommodations tax.
And isn't it true, just for the sake of clarity for everybody, isn't it true that the money that the county disseminates for ATAC, whatever's allocations, is really coming from the taxes paid by our people anyway, by the people that are staying here, by the visitors. It comes from Mount Pleasant accommodations tax. They collect it, and then they give us back money that was collected from, isn't that true?
Well,
it's not like it's coming from tourism in North Charleston or something like that.
Correct. There's three. They also collect ours and give us our local back. And then they collect their county, and it's based on the entire county. And then that's a percentage of which they give back to us. And that's what got reduced.
So then the last part of this is, why is it that when publicly it was said that they had approved giving X amount of dollars to the Medal of Honor Museum project, why was it not made clear publicly that, I don't mean about, you know, changing the rules, I just mean basically it was Mount Pleasant putting up, you know, which we know that, I'm just saying it was really Mount Pleasant putting up $1 million a year, not the county giving $5 million to the Medal of Honor Museum. It's almost like they took the credit for it, but they're taking the money from, isn't that true?
We get a double hit.
Yeah. But I mean, they're not actually giving $5 million.
Right.
They're really only giving maybe two or three at the most.
Their portion is being subsidized by our allocation.
Yeah. So.
But I'll say this in fairness to the county, which I can't believe I'm saying, they're allowed to do this.
Oh, I get it.
and it certainly negatively affects us.
Yeah.
But they're allowed. And they can't do that with our portion. Marcy mentioned our portion that we collect, you know, that's ours. But the county portion, they determine the methodology, and they vote on that, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. It's that's why I brought it up. I mean, it seems very unfair, but they're allowed. And that's
difficult. I just feel that the Congressional Medal of Honor Museum and Heritage Center is going to bring a lot of additional eyes to the whole county, not just to Mount Pleasant. So it's interesting that we are bearing the main cost of it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, now I'm going to switch over to the revenues for the Capital Asset Fund. Now, the Capital Asset Fund is made up of three components. It's the first year of the CIP. It is our Comprehensive Maintenance Plan, or CMP, and it's also our Asset Replacement Plan. The funding for these, the decrease, let me just address the decrease, or what appears to be a decrease. The $157 million is funds that have not yet been spent on projects. For instance, there's $10 million of federal dollars in there for Billy Swales. So it continues to roll until we actually expend it. So it's not necessarily a decrease in our funding of these projects. Contributions and donations, that's what I'm going to touch on, because it's they have a $1.2 million in them for next year, and in there is $1.2 million, which is projects the town will receive funding. from either Mount Pleasant Water Works or some other outside agencies. So we wanted to make sure that we recognize in contributions and donations at 1.3 that we start to, when we do a project and they're going to receive, we're going to receive funding from an outside agency, that we program that in so that we can issue the contract. Otherwise, we have problems issuing the contract without recognizing their portion of it. A lot of it's Mount Pleasant Water Works. Transfer in is going to be the transfer in of general fund dollars that help support either a capital, a comprehensive maintenance plan or asset replacement plan. In general, these are funded by special revenues, which continue to increase, as I said, but at a smaller rate. And then I was going to say something about county accommodations tax, but I think we've already kind of hit that.
Can we go back to one other item, and it's because of the money that has to sit there a long time that's already been allocated that I'm asking the question, so even though I'm backtracking. on the revenue, we have an item for interest, and it says interest earned, consolidated banks and interest rates at LGIP, $1.3 million in 2019, budgeted for 2020 is 429, requested for 2021 is 452. So let me just, one, ask, what is the reason for the big drop in expected interest for the 2021? I mean, it's not a drop over 2020, but it is over 2019.
Yes, ma'am. So what we have done in the last couple years is consolidated all our banking interest and put a majority either in our new banking agreement that we have with TD Bank or with the local government investment pool. So we are doing better, but each year we anticipate projects being done and the funding not happening. So we don't want to begin relying on that money for ongoing operations. Mm-hmm. So this year we expect three major road projects to get under works. And so we are always hesitant to go out and then next thing we don't have that money, the interest goes down, and I've built ongoing operations on that fund, on those funds.
So have you looked at all at the possibility of using very high quality but low volatility either money managers or bond funds for some of that money, especially money that's going to sit there for more than 6 months? The reason I ask that is the difference between like a savings account or CD right now, which is less than 0.5%, and what you can get in a very high quality, low volatility, short-term bond fund is probably the difference between 0.5% and like 2.5% to 3%. And on that much money, you could be talking about several million dollars a year that we could be generating.
Yes, I have met with a couple companies that do that. We already have experienced with our banking. We went out for an RFP with our banking, and they've given us great interest. They're matching LGIP, and LGIP is almost 3 basis points right now. So we're right now doing well. Some of the firms that
almost
we've...
Almost 3 basis points?
Sorry, 300.
Okay,
sorry.
Thanks.
It's like, oh, my gosh, yes. we have met with them. Some of the requirements and how long they have to keep it and the fees, we haven't yet gone that route. But we feel like we're doing much better than we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're getting 300 basis points, how come it came out to 429 if that money's been sitting there? Because that's not... nearly 3 basis.
For fiscal year 2020,
yeah.
That was the budget. That's not what we're actually receiving.
Okay. All right. Only because, like I said, I actually have in the past handled municipal accounts and had an institutional trader handle it, and we were making several percentage points even with these super low rates in very, very safe holdings, AAA and or at very, very minimum A average, but we want AAA. But the point is that you do get a lot more than just sitting at the other. So I just wondered, because we could be talking about enough money to fund the Medal of Honor Museum every year or something else.
One thing to comment back, and I didn't want to because I know we're running out of time too much, but this is a snapshot of this year's budget.
Right.
It isn't as if we are sitting, Marcy's sitting over there with $157 million right now. Taxes are collected and given to us at different times. The transfer in comes in at different times. So great ideas for the fund balance and those type of things.
Right.
But on the ongoing, it's tough to put money aside for 6 months when, but that's not That's not for now. I should probably not have brought that up.
It's okay. I really wasn't talking
about it. Can I ask one question, though? So this is the capital fund. This is the one that I have been thinking about a lot. And in this year's budget book that we got for this year's budget, it showed that we showed a need for, and I don't know the number, but like $322 million of need. $322 million worth of need. In this year's budget, we funded $34 million of that, which means we didn't fund $300 million of capital need. Some of it are maintenance items. When you don't fund maintenance items, it's not a $300 need anymore. The following year, it's $400. The following year, it's $500 or whatever it's going to be. That concerns me, personally. I'll probably bring that up at the big budget meeting. But the more we don't address that, I think it's sort of reckless, quite frankly, from elected people. Second thing is that transfer in, to me, comes out as like a highlighted neon sign. And I wish I knew facts a little more than I do. But I'd be willing to bet that's close to the second largest expenditure that we have in all of our budget. You know, police, I think $17 million, to just transfer over to pay capital debt. And we have needs in the, we have gigantic needs in operating. And we're taking $12 million. And we did it last year too, or close to it. We have a habit now of taking money from operating and putting it over there for capital year in and year out and year in and year out. When the issue is we don't have enough money in our capital. We're not collecting enough money for that. So it's not for now. But I just wanted to make sure that my 322 or so is a close figure. And but I think this will be discussed a little bit later. And I applaud you for juggling this and making it work, because I know it's not easy. Okay.
I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
Before we leave something that sounds pretty scary or negative or something out there, I just want to double check. Isn't part of the idea that we take money from our what comes in on our operating side because you have budgeted in and you have covered what you would anticipate the actual needs and expenses are, and you have money left over, as you have for quite a few years, you have excess money that then can be put towards, isn't that really the idea? So in other words, it's the same. I mean, the alternative is you issue a bond every single time you turn around, and that, you know, that's not necessarily what you have to do if you have extra cash flow. So the idea is you're transferring excess cash flow, isn't that correct? You're budgeting to do that.
If it's under 1% interest, it could be argued that that's not a bad idea to borrow money.
Oh, no, I understand that. No, I know we're not talking. I know I'm not arguing whether we should or shouldn't be bonding. I'm saying, because we did. We just did $30 million for the public service thing. So I'm just, and we also have the SRF for Sneed Farm. I'm just asking the question, isn't that $12 million last year and 11.9 this year, isn't that money that we are budgeting because we have excess cash flow right now?
Those funds going in, those are not necessarily, they're not at all going to CIP projects. Those are all our comprehensive maintenance. So that is funds that are either replacing our assets or maintaining them. So it has, when the budget's allocated, it has as much weight as any operating. So it's not extra that does above and beyond. That's one of our base amounts of maintaining our facilities to the extent we can that goes in there and replacing our vehicles.
It's capital.
It is capital. It absolutely is. We spend over $3 million in vehicle replacements a million for maintaining our facilities. But we don't go through the general fund first and then transfer over. It's part of our requirement each year.
Okay. So then there is an excess number, and it was more like $3 million, if I remember correctly, from last year versus what you budgeted and what we ended up with at the end, that you had excess, and you have had excess for several years of varying amounts. Where does that number come from? It comes from your conservative budgeting, right?
So that is in the general fund.
Right.
So in the general fund each year, two things happen. One, we either do not expend all of our appropriation, and our department managers are really good about that, or we receive revenues above and beyond what we anticipated. So those two things at June 30th, they automatically fall down to the general fund's fund balance. Then after the audit, we do a calculation that says, here is our general fund balance. How much is in there? What's the requirement per town policy that says 25% has to be set aside of your operations, $2 million of your emergency, and then any unassigned funds you can't take into account, like you're utilizing them.
Okay.
The very last bit of it, an amount that would equal half of what maintains in the fund balance is sent over to infrastructure.
Right.
That's the amount that is per that calculation that goes over. That amount, we added at mid-year, another 1.8 is what was sent over. But all the rest stays in the general fund balance.
Right, got it. Okay, thank you.
But that also might not happen.
Yes.
That might not happen.
No, we know
exactly.
That.
And then it could go the other way.
Yes.
So that's what budgeting does. That's what... That's not something I believe that we should count on.
No, we shouldn't. No, I agree with that. I just was trying to double check for this past year.
Yeah, and if I may, yes. There is a look possibly at funding capital through operations, but we should point out it already happens today.
Right.
It already happens either through debt payments that are made, money sent from the general fund to pay capital debt, or if we're fortunate enough, and by the way, thanks to Marcy and your department managers, we don't just spend here in Mount Pleasant, never have. There's pressure in our department heads to look at their budgets all the time and to turn money back. And when they do that, that money is split, and it goes to your capital fund, typically to stormwater and typically to transportation. So we're funding already out of our operations, which is a little bit of a dangerous, as you mentioned, Ms. Lanning, it may be a year where we're not able because of changes in conditions, maybe like we're seeing now out there. But that happens currently.
Okay, good conversation.
So now we're going to go into the expenditure side. And so these are the general government expenditures and other ones that don't meet any specific committee. You'll receive them here. So the general fund highlights. So again, the compensation increase includes the mandatory 1%. Overall, the general government budget is anticipated to increase 1.7%. The operation, and it begins on page 9. I should let you, oh, it's up on the screen. Okay. So the operational budget reflects the proposed compensation along with mandated pension. The budget does reflect a decrease due to the removal of the election expenditure and an increase as we will be going out for bid for new auditors effective July 1st. We are anticipating about a 5% increase. Also for the general government is a comprehensive maintenance plan. It's our vehicle maintenance services that's housed in the capital asset fund. And in the asset replacement plan, we also do the annual technology, which is hardware, software, and we have one replacement vehicle, and it's for one of the department's shared vehicles.
Just curious, I know we're late on time. When you go out for proposals for auditors, do you do an RFQ or an RFP?
RFP.
Okay. All right.
We can do either. Right now, we're in the development of it. But we plan on, our current auditors, Green Finney, will complete this year as it ends June 30th. So you'll see them again in December.
Right.
But we'd like to have the new audit firm on staff for July 1st for the new year that they will be auditing.
Thank you.
Non-departmental expenditures. Non-departmental expenditures are on page 40. And behind that, the spreadsheet, you'll also see on some items additional detail, particularly when it comes to community investments. Overall, there's a 7.3% increase. Contributions to risk management is projected to increase 2.5%, and that's both our workers' compensation as well as our property and casualty. And that's just based on our claims experience. It goes over 5 years. In the last couple of years, we've had a few high ones that we're trying to work through. Donations to outside agencies maintains a $100,000 for community investment, and that's allocated per the criteria that's established by town community investment policy. This count is also where we added the $600,000 for the Medal of Honor Museum. Annexation fees are up, and that's for the Ondaw Fire District. As we annex in property from those districts, we have to pay the fire district. And then grant awards, it looks like it's up, but it's actually flat funding. That's for grants that come in through the year. That allocation would be used to recognize those without having to go back to a two-reading ordinance amendment each year.
So just one clarification. The Medal of Honor Heritage Foundation is, we are donating to the foundation, to a separate body. Fortunately, these are people we know and like. But what if it isn't built? What do we have to protect us if we ever get to that?
They have committed to returning the money to us if it doesn't happen. Good. Yes.
All right. And I don't ask it because I'm concerned. I ask it because we're going to be asked that. And that's good to know that on the book. Yes, Jay.
Along those same lines, what's the time requirement? Within a certain number of years or in perpetuity?
I don't recall, sir. After council authorized the expenditure, we met with the Heritage Foundation leadership to get more specifics on the matter. And there was a letter that was drafted and provided. I can't recall if there was a time frame on the return of the money or not.
Yes, Gary.
Yeah, Eric, is this the accommodations tax funds that the county took from us?
Well, they reallocated for their own use.
Reallocated, okay. That was... took reallocated.
but that was their commitment. Our commitment, yeah. We took, I believe, out of fund balance, $1.2 million or so.
Road realignment, 1.2?
It was the 1.2 from the old road realignment that we allocated with the additional contribution of 1.8, which was to be $600,000 over 3 years. That's our side of it.
Yes, Kathy.
Remember the exact time period, but I believe there is either a 5 or 6 year time period on it. Mm-hmm. And they actually have as their whole motto, but also in writing, museum or your money back. And okay. So the only thing that they will be using any money for is they won't, any of this type of money would go into this essentially escrow for the museum to be built. The only money that would actually be spent would, I think, be the 1.2. which we allocated more free, I think.
Of the 1.2, 500,000 was for operations, 700 went into that escrow you speak of, right. And then the other. So the 500, they wouldn't necessarily give back. Mm-hmm. The other, they're gonna use the interest earnings or whatever they, how they do it. And that will be what they use, but the guarantee would be for that money, those monies to come back.
And as well as the 600 per year.
Correct, and the 1.2 is hospitality tax.
Good, thank you so much.
Next is the debt service fund. It's behind the tab on page 95. For 2021, payments will continue on the town's three general obligation bonds. Also, with the completion of Snee Farm project, payments will begin on that state revolving fund loan that we received out of stormwater fees. In the current year, there was proposed to be a stormwater fee increase to pay for a revenue bond. However, without the increase in fees, we have not established that borrowing, so you do not see that in here until which time the council decides to act on that, if that's their choice. Fiscal year 2021 does include a proposed 5-year lease purchase for larger equipment for public services and 2 vehicles for the fire department. We'll be bringing that as part of the budget process, the request to issue that lease purchase.
3 fully automated trash trucks, a fire pumper, and a squad, quick response vehicle.
Okay. Did you have a question?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I know we've already been through this stormwater fee and revenue bond discussion several times, but I don't know when is the right time to actually get to the nitty-gritty, because we are not just trying to kick the can down the road on doing something. So that was one of the things that I think is going to be looked at for the meeting next week, is going ahead with Royal as possibly being approved as its own project, as opposed to the entire stormwater of $20 million being approved as a project, and then possibly funding that through the various means we have, the grant, money from general fund, if we put more of the overage that we did have, not what we're projecting, but what we did have from last year, and possibly fund that. Is that correct, that right now we're waiting until next week when we have that meeting? Is that right? Because we talked about it last time, and I think we directed staff to look at the Royal. Oh, no, it wasn't at the last council. It was at the budget meeting.
Yes. Yes. We're looking to start with the worst basin first and try to cobble together money. All the sources you mentioned are right on, and hopefully maybe we can get some FEMA funds to support it. but, yeah, until that comes together and a decision and a vote can be made, we're a little bit in limbo. The stadium project creates a little bit of that, too, because it might, if you're going to use some fund balance for that project, there may not be much left over for the stormwater project.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some more information to move forward in terms of grant opportunities that may or may not be coming in. Good news is I don't believe we couldn't construct the project right now anyway. We're still, Jody, need a little bit more time with permitting, but we're prepared to talk about it. The trouble's going to be is that we're not really going to know for sure how the funding location sources come together. And we're going to need $6 or $7 million mm-hmm. to get there.
Right. So then, again, this has felt all along like a little bit of a jigsaw puzzle, unless we did sort of what seemed like the low-hanging fruit of raising stormwater fees and just funding the whole darn thing. So if we go this route in order to not, especially, and the mayor has brought this up several times, especially Old Village folks who have been paying stormwater fees this whole time and dealing with flooding the whole time. So now say, hey, we're not going to fix this unless we raise your storm. So there's a lot of different thoughts on that. But that said, any idea when FEMA will get back to us?
Yes, ma'am. So at 99% design, we're looking at just Royal Avenue at $5.85 million. SCDOT will reimburse 17% of that, and that's $495,269. We have submitted through SCDNR to FEMA a request. It's actually for both of the basins at 12.65 million, which is a 75-25 split. SCDNR submitted to FEMA at the end of January, and the earliest award could be announced mid-July.
Hmm. Okay, so let's say, so of 12, was it 12 million you said?
12.65.
And would that be something where it's going to be divided between Royal and Edwards?
We submitted both.
Uh-huh. So does it? Is there a percentage required?
No, the 5.85 is Royal, and the 6.8 is Edwards Park. It was the combined pieces.
Right. No, I understand that. I mean, if they make an award, is it required that it also be split in some percentage? If so, do we have any idea how much?
I believe that since we submitted both, they would only, you know, would be maxed out on the amount 75-25, but it's hard to tell what will come in.
Okay. All right. Well, what I meant was, let's say out of the 12, they come back with 4. Are we allowed to use 4 towards Royal and then deal with Edwards next, or are we, you split it half and half or something like that?
Is there
a requirement? That's my question.
Just don't know yet.
We don't know. It depends on how they award it. Okay. So then the other thing is, since Jody is here, do mm-hmm. we have an idea of when that full survey permit and all that is done? So when we say pretty soon, I feel like government talk. That could be the government talk for July, and July is when we're...
Next July, 2020.
So if we're talking about maybe within a few months, July is within a few months, we're actually talking about... Because July is 4 months, folks. I mean, I know because I know exactly when June is. But anyway, so it's 3 months from now. what I'm just thinking here is that... So this is a decision that could be made once we have more information, and then we could proceed right away, correct?
I agree, Ms. Landing. I mean, if if an additional funding option raised by the town is not an option for us, if council does not want to raise a stormwater fee for it or do something else, our best bet is to wait. It's to wait. It's to wait until we're sure we have the money cobbled together before. The permits will be good for a while. So we wait, make sure we've got the money cobbled together, and then take on the project. And that could be, you know, the timing may work out. It may, could be 6 months from now, could be 8 months from now, could be a year. But without a source, until we're sure we can cobble together the money from every source out there, just wait until we can do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the last thing I'll say, because I know this is, well, and you're worried about the time, but actually, do we have a whole lot? Because we've still got 15 minutes. Okay. All right. Well, we'll move forward. But I just wanted to make sure people know we're not just sitting here. I mean, we are waiting for things to happen that it couldn't have started yesterday anyway.
Right. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, the last expenditure side is going to be the state accommodations tax fund. This fund is, it looks like it's growing 9%, but that's because it grew more in the current year, so it's based off the current trend that we're experiencing. And it also, the other source of revenue is the tourism and advertising grant, which is a 50-50 match. Per state code, there is an allocation to CVB. And this also has some funding towards the fire pumper truck. Not the full, just some additional funding towards that. And that is the state accommodations tax fund. Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. Accommodations tax, how do we track that? Or do we track it? In other words, for instance, I know some of the hotels, you have guests who are sailing on the Carnival will stay there because they offer good rates and free parking. They'll take them over, you know, to the ship and pick them up and bring them back if they'll stay at their hotels. And I had a good conversation with one of the hotels the other day, asking them about how do they track it, and they were like, well, you know, we haven't been tracking it really. They couldn't tell me the total amount of people were staying there so we could generate and see how much accommodations tax were coming from that. Is there any way that we can really, I don't know, I mean, I'm open for suggestions, track that to see not just the Carnival, but I mean, track it and see what kind of revenue is generated to those hospitality tax, I mean, accommodations tax, and how it's split out a little bit so that we can really understand where a lot of that's coming from and whether we can concentrate on improving that area to be able to get some more revenue.
Yeah, well, they're good points. We don't track those who are staying in a hotel because of a Carnival or something like that, but we know how many nights, how many people, which hotels are we track, make sure that the hotels that that the collection agencies are, we want to make sure that the hotels that they're collecting from are our hotels and our money isn't going to somewhere else. So, but ours is in a broader sense. We know the numbers, we know the collections, we know average daily rate per room, we know where they're staying as far as East Cooper, Mount Pleasant side. And that's what we track. But as far as anything on a deeper dive, we don't track it, but we could likely get the information from the Visitors Bureau.
Well, you know, the reason I say that is to maybe even start a program to where we go out and market that almost. Hey, you know, if you're going to be, I'm just using the cruise ship for an example, taking a cruise on there, Mount Pleasant is the place to stay. You've got great, you know, we sell Mount Pleasant to people like that who don't want to go downtown, maybe spend $400 a night at a hotel, but that will come over here and spend the night. I guess just a sales type of a program where we can try and attract folks to that want to come down and stay in our hotel, spend money in our stores, and then, you know, get on the ship and leave, or when they get back, go home.
Good points.
Okay.
And we can bring that up. We meet with our hospitality group. I forget, Christine or Lauren probably know how often, but at least once a quarter, every quarter, to talk about how we can support them. And that is something we can bring up, and we'll do that.
Yeah, I know I think this weekend they have a big fair over at the Marriott. I think it's this coming weekend, where they're really pushing, you know, cruises and things like that. And I think that might be an opportunity for us to find out a lot more information on how they track it.
We need a recommendation to take this action to council for the budget discussions.
Motion to approve as recommended by the chair.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
So we have a motion, a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That doesn't mean we've approved anything or, I'm sorry, that doesn't mean that anything is final. It still has to go through the budget process with all council. Okay, if we can go to the next.
Yes, sir. So the state accommodation, wrong tab. All right. There has been recent discussion regarding development impact fees. So prior to the scheduled discussion today, I thought it might be helpful to have some general information regarding the town's development impact fees. The town adopted four different impact fees, and the ordinance complies with state code, which establishes clear parameters. The maximum allowable rate for each was calculated based on two different approaches: recreation, fire, and municipal facilities and equipment were based on the consumption-driven method. This method takes what is our current program, for instance, recreation, what is the value of our current program, and for each additional person or each additional, and recreation, each additional person, they would pay their portion to maintain that same level across the town. Recreation is the only one that is only for residential. Fire and municipal facilities, same premise, what's the value of our fire program? And then for each additional person or each additional square foot built in the town, they would pay their portion to maintain that level. Again, it's per our ordinance, which follows state code. There's only certain things that can be used for, which is growth, not repair, maintenance, those items. The other is the improvements-driven method, and that's for transportation. So that looks at, for instance, our roads based on growth, which ones will fail, and making sure that we do a calculation, and in this case, it's per trip generation, that would put it back into the system for those roads to make sure that we have funding that they won't fail. So once you have the maximum allowable impact fee determined, then you can, it's up to town council if they would like to apply a discount rate. So the discount rate for those four categories can be different. You can discount it 100% and there would not be any, or you can discount it, currently we have them at 80%. So recreation can be different from fire, from municipal, from transportation. However, within that category, you cannot differentiate between residential and non-residential. It's the category as a whole. And then if you want to change your maximum allowable rate, you would have to go through the whole process, which goes back to the Planning Commission. It goes back to affordable housing study, all these different pieces. However, the discount rate can be adjusted during the time frame by town council. So I just thought this kind of information, general and broad, would just be helpful in the discussion.
I have a couple of questions. When you mention, well, let's go to my first question. So these are geographic in nature, are they not? Like, it doesn't come into the town and we do whatever we want anywhere in the town. For example, rec impact fees are for a specific part of the town, or no?
So when this, per the state, the way we allocated our ordinance is we had to set the boundary, and the boundary is the entire town.
Oh, wow, that's good.
So for recreation, it can be used in the entire town. However, it has to meet certain criteria. Like if you were buying a piece of equipment, the equipment has to be more than $100,000. It has to be for growth.
Right.
The fire station, we use the expansion part. So we could have paid for a portion of the expansion, but not the repair and maintenance. So nothing existing, repair only new based on growth townwide.
Can we still, for rec, collect fees in lieu of land? Could we, or could, it used to be you can get a parcel of land or fees in lieu of the land. Is that, or is it still those two options, or no?
The ordinance does allow for you to do a developer's agreement, is that what you're talking about,
yeah,
with town council. So the ordinance has a section that you can come, as Carolina Park did, and you can come and do a an agreement directly with, as opposed to,
okay,
the paying them
the
per,
the
per lot, or yes.
Okay, so second question, you mentioned that we as a body can differentiate in fees. We can go 50%, 75%, whatever. I don't ever remember, but it could be me, that coming to the town on any incidents that we voted on saying, let's give them a discount, or is that done at the staff level?
In April 2017, when the ordinance was adopted, effective July 1st, 2017, the determination at that time written into the ordinance was that effective July 1st, 2017, fees would be discounted 50%. All four categories discounted 50% of the maximum allowable. And that effective January 1, 2018, they would be discounted 35% of the maximum, or you'd pay 65% of the maximum allowable. And then July 1st of 2019, the discount would be reduced to all four categories being discounted 20%, or you're currently paying 80% of the maximum allowable.
So since I was on council, I agreed to not collect these fees?
They adopted them with the incremental changes from the get-go.
Okay. Whew. Don't like to leave money on the table. All right. Do you have a comment? Yes.
I'm sure you figured I did. Thank you for looking my way and saying, hey, do you have anything to say? All right. So I pulled out, there's two things. And this is a complicated conversation. Some people think this can be dismissed easily, but what we're doing when you talk about leaving money on the table as an example is I will still say all day long, and I actually think I have a fellow champion in this on this committee, at least one, that we can't prove a negative. We can't prove what fine dining restaurant isn't going into North Mount Pleasant, but there are none north of the IOP. Seoul is great, but it's not a fine dining restaurant. I love it, but it's not.
But they do have a home team coming and taking over from Rusty Rutter.
And outside of Mount Pleasant proper, we have Swig and Swine. Okay. But one of the things that was shown with Lauren's great work, Sims' great work on this, was as an example, standalone fine dining. And we also know the other thing is that the big boxes or the big chains can usually pay impact fees more easily, whereas the fine dining, smaller local things and or shops are going to have a harder time. So what we found was that their impact fee cost in the estimate was, let's see here, I think the overall was normally we would have, anyway, whatever it came out to, the break even on a 20% discount was 3.3 years. And at 50%, it was, I guess I'm a little confused on that. But anyway, it was a very short period of time where you make up the difference on the impact fee up front by having the higher funding from the fine dining restaurant. And so if we bring them in, we're going to have that. The break even means that's the point at which we got that money back versus if we had charged the higher rate. But remember, that's only if they actually show up. If they don't show up, we get none of it. But then from then forward, it's an ongoing revenue stream every single year. And so the issue has been, first of all, should we consider lowering impact fees overall so that we get the business here? Because there's not that much. We have a permit allocation, so residential is only going to be able to grow so fast anyway. We have an apartment moratorium, so new apartment buildings aren't going to be able to be permitted right now anyway. So we've kind of handled the slowing of the growth on the residential side anyway. If we lower the rate or increase the discount, an inverse thing here, then in fact, it's really only commercial that's being heavily impacted right now. And we want to bring businesses and jobs to this side of the bridge, and we want to bring as much as we can. We want to encourage, not as much as we can, as much as we can, we want to encourage more local businesses, smaller specialty things that appeal to our charming, you know, seaside community. So I think, first of all, the overall conversation is worth continuing and not dismissing like we've done in the past. And then the second thing on this is that I did receive information from the mayor of Goose Creek, which I thought I forwarded and now I realize I didn't, so I'm getting it again, that they somehow calculate where they are able to disconnect. The state rule is, right, Marcy, the state rule is the one that requires us to keep them the same. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So they somehow disconnect commercial and industrial versus residential by using a different methodology for each?
What it would allow is we defined the area as the entire town of Mount Pleasant. you could have multiple areas. So I'm assuming that what they did is maybe they established different areas, and with that, within that area, you can't differentiate. But you could, if you had a large tract of parcel of land, you could make that a whole, it's its own impact fees. And with them, charge different from the other ones. But when we adopted our ordinance, it was townwide. So now we can't differentiate within the townwide. If we had multiple ones within those areas, you could. Within, you know, not, you couldn't differentiate residential and non-residential, but that area could have a different discount than the rest if you had multiple areas.
I'm going to get that report. I was just going to finish the thought. I'm going to get that report and have it sent to you, because I think it actually used somehow square footage related to the commercial and industrial as opposed to transportation calculations. And that's how they did it. And so I'll send that. I'll have that sent to you. But I still say that first part is worth continuing to explore, not because we don't want things to pay for the impact they have, but because we don't want to keep things from coming here because of these impact fees. And that is what's happening with certain types of businesses.
I'm glad we're having the discussion. And I think I agree with what you and Jake had mentioned many times. I could maybe win both arguments or lose both arguments, whichever the case may be. But I could see points both ways. But the discussion needs to happen, because what we need to do is make sure that we are creating that opportunity for more revenue for the town. Mr. Santos?
Yeah, just a quick question. I know we've got the moratorium on apartments and all, but we've got development agreements out there right now, Carolina Park, Midtown. How many, I mean, they can still build apartments, I mean, through the agreement. And how many can they build? Do you know anybody? I know you weren't expecting this question, but I keep hearing that, you know, we got more term on apartments, but we do have development agreements out there to guarantee developers, single family, multifamily. How many of those can be?
Well, Carolina Park has built several. Likely they have a few remaining. We also have, outside of the development agreement, the legal settlement down on Ben Sawyer near the waterway. So that's outside of a DA, but they have approval to do it outside of our moratorium. After that, though, I don't believe there's a lot of apartment units that haven't already gone to construction that are still left, because each development agreement has an allocation for multifamily. Does anyone else know, Jeff or Christine, you guys remember?
There's really not a lot left, even in Carolina Park. The project that's recently opened deals with their allocation for multifamily. Basically, under our total permit allocation system, we can handle about three multifamily projects, and we know all three, and they might be 8 or 12 apartment units left, and they're all spoken for.
How about Midtown?
I think they're done.
They don't have any more.
Yeah, they're done.
No more.
They're building condos right now across from MUSC. That's under construction.
It's expired. Their DA's expired.
Development agreement
expired.
Okay.
Okay. Jake?
There are a number of fallacies kind of associated with impact fees, and I think you could even see in our numbers, you know, the worry is that if we decrease impact fees, we're going to have less money to do these transportation projects, when in fact our transportation impact fee, the amount of money that we have brought in, has decreased the past few years, and is projected, according to the CIP, projected to continue to significantly decrease, because with the lock on residential development that we've put in place, rightfully so, really what this is just impacting is our commercial development, and it quite frankly is killing it. The only way to develop a property for a developer is to make the numbers work. I mean, they have to have a return on their investment, otherwise they're not going to do it. They're taking their business in North Charleston and to Charleston and surrounding areas. So the idea that if we reduce the rate of the impact fees producing less money is not true. Yeah. You reduce the impact fee, you have more commercial development, more services near where people live, you actually potentially could bring in more money, or at least the same, and then you have the recurring revenue over time throughout the lifespan of that building or whatever. And even in the budget that you were going over earlier Marcy was talking about what are all these additional revenues coming from. You mentioned all of these different businesses that have come to town, and I would even argue, well, those are great businesses. I didn't hear any local, small local businesses, because the only people affording these things are the big box stores. We're going to end up being anywhere USA with no character. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
Great points, Mr. Rambeau and Kathy. And my question is, rather than just sit here and talk about this, because it's been talked about for a while, can we have a motion on this? Doesn't have to be now, but can we address this as part of the budget? Can we make sure that we do this thing? Go ahead.
Yes, and I do want to bring up one other type of business, because this is an essential service. You know, I talk about fine dining because it was in the examples, and it was one that was really glaring that, you know, we don't have, that is really fast break even, and then it's all excess to the town versus what we have. But the one that I brought up before, which I know for a fact is a real problem in our community, is childcare. And the child care facility that went up on Bessemer Road, Kids Are Kids, I've talked to the owner multiple times. He actually sent me and left me a voicemail before the last meeting and said very clearly if he had not been able to get in while it was still at 50%, he would not have been able to make the numbers work. And that facility, I think, is already almost fully out, you know, fully subscribed, and I know there's a waiting list, especially on this end of town. He's interested in opening another one on this end of town, and he said at the 20% discount level or 80% impact fee level, he can't make the numbers work, and he cannot do it. He would go somewhere else before he'd open another Mount Pleasant location. So that's an example where we are not only hurting ourselves in terms of long-term revenue, we're hurting services. And one more thing I want to say. I know that we can't today have a reasonable discussion on how transportation impact fees are calculated, and I'm certainly not an expert on that, and probably none of us are, but what I can say is there is a huge difference between a residence where you have at least one to two, maybe three cars and people mm-hmm. living there generating traffic, and a business that by being on this side of the bridge, by keeping jobs on this side, by keeping the services on this side of the bridge, I believe you actually shorten car trips and you reduce the impact of transportation and congestion. So once again, that's just theoretical. As a motion, I'm not sure what the motion should be.
I don't think we need it now, but I hope we don't keep talking about this.
No, I think we should make a motion. I don't know whether this is, but do we make a motion in finance or do we make a motion?
I don't think we're ready. In my opinion, I'm not sure we're ready because there's been some, but I don't know. I could be wrong. But we talked about things like different zones, having different, and I think we're close, though. I just hope that by budget time, that it's in there.
On the zones, I'll just say I think it's tricky because I've just described a need for child care services on this side of town
right.
and a need True. For fine dining on that side of town.
That's why I think a motion right now would be tough. Yes,
so,
sir.
I would think dividing it into the zones at this point. We have this traffic study that we've paid for and everything is there. In my opinion, the only change that we should be looking at potentially making would just be what that discount rate is townwide.
So could we have from finance a recommendation or more than one recommendation, maybe a menu where it states at this decrease it will result in this at district, and then you'll be able to bring in, okay, from that standpoint, but if the businesses come mm-hmm. at that, then it's going to generate this. And I like how you did it in years, because
mm-hmm.
that's no time,
mm-hmm.
because then it's forever and ever and ever, instead of having somebody not be there. Mr. Santos?
Well, I just want to make a comment. You make it sound like if we lower that, the restaurants are going to come. They have an issue with people working there. I mean, that's one of the problems. Yeah. They don't live here. They have to take the bus in from North Charleston or Charleston and places to work. So I don't think just because we lower that, that's going to bring businesses here, because I just think the employment opportunities here and the traffic and all that right now, we're having a very difficult time, some of these restaurants and all, being able to get workers to work because they can't live in Mount Pleasant right now. So like
it's
I said,
it's great that you brought it up. It's interesting that the first public comment today, only public comment today, was about addressing that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is good. I love the discussion. You're right about that. I thought you chose dining because you know I like to eat.
No, it's just because it was on the sheet, and it happens to be one that gets break even very quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Great discussion. Does that make sense, Eric, if we just come back with some recommendations for us based on different percentages and the result of that so that we then can make some decisions?
Yeah, we'll give you different percentages based on what we've collected and
sure.
what that would have resulted in.
Oh, that'll help.
Our information in no way will be able to predict.
No.
Yeah, but well, can I just say we had this in the last meeting.
Yeah,
it's here, and that was the one that I think you were out of town. So I'm just going to say,
really?
We do. Well, I didn't mean to. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying it to be insulting. I'm saying I don't want to ask them to do something that's already been done. It's already been done on various types of businesses. That's what this thing is.
I actually saw that. I remember reading that when I was out of town.
And the reason I bring that up is again, nobody is saying if we lower impact fees, all of a sudden, boom, we're going to have all these things. That is not the only problem. There are other problems.
Okay.
But there is no doubt that when you talk to businesses and you say, will you consider bringing this here? Or you hear from, like I did, from this owner of a child care center, would you be able to replicate what you've done? Because it's incredible. It's definitely helping on that end of town. And his answer is, I would, but I can't make the numbers work because of the... So I'm just making the point. I'm not disagreeing.
Ready for a motion? Group? Team? Are we ready for some type of motion? And it will be similar to the motion that we made after the budget calculations were done. It will be a motion to take to the budget meeting. It won't be that we are asking council to vote on this and approve it. So,
well, when is the next budget meeting?
This is not part of the budget, though, right? I mean, really, this
it
fee
isn't part of the budget.
Is not, it
but
be.
I, but it it will it will affect revenue.
Positively.
It will affect. I don't know if it's big enough adjustments to adjust it. And it's not part of the budget, but I think it's going to affect the budget, just in my opinion.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we send to council a proposal to study, to take what staff brings us and what we have from other sources and look at it all together and discuss lowering the impact fees, increasing the discount in order to encourage more local and smaller businesses that fit the needs and services. So that's
second.
Way too long, but whatever.
That's the longest motion in
it
the
is.
History
it
of
is.
Government.
It is. I'm sure there's second. A more succinct way.
Okay. Did you get that, ma'am?
You got it.
How should I word it?
Okay. But it was good. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I think I'm going to oppose it this time simply because I think there's a lot more things out there, including the labor market and all, that's going to impact this, even if we do lower it. I think that we need to address affordable housing. A lot of that needs to be included in here. We're not just going to lower the impact fees and everybody's going to come in. As you know, the number one thing in people's mind right now is traffic and transportation, and that we're growing so fast. They want us to slow down, and it sounds to me like by lowering the impact fees, we're trying to get more people to move in and get more people to come here. So that's my question. I'm just not quite sure that lowering those fees are going to do what we want. I think we need to study everything, including the affordable housing.
I think you're right. I think that we are not saying right now that we're going to do this. We're saying to take to council
mm-hmm.
for discussion. That needs to be brought up, as well as the council members that aren't sitting in these chairs will have other things that need to be brought up. But, you know, I hate to be pushy, but so many times we talk. I want some action,
right.
You know?
So can we include affordable housing? Can we include this in that discussion, affordable housing?
I think it's affected by everything, of course.
Okay, can we
and
make
it's
that
economic development?
Can we make that
a
part of the motion, though?
I made the motion. I believe this is one aspect. I personally, as a council member, am very concerned about affordable housing, and we're working on that. That is a separate issue. It doesn't mean that they don't all fit together. Of course they do. This motion is about sending this to council to discuss the impact fee discount level for various reasons that we believe it will encourage certain types of businesses that we need. But basically, it's sending a motion to revisit the discount rate. That's the shorter motion
okay,
of what we're saying.
Okay, and that was the motion, and we had a second.
Right. And we voted.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We have three ayes and opposed?
No.
So 3-1 we have. Okay.
I was going to request some of the items that we are that we had proposed to discuss about the business license ordinance will be tailored based on what happens with House Bill 4431. Mm-hmm. It has passed the House. It's sent to the Senate to their Committee on Finance. So if it's okay, I'd like to postpone this so that we can make sure that we're not going to recommend something to you that
Good
the
idea.
State law will change.
Good idea. Yes, Jim.
Would this would have been what we reviewed a couple months ago as far as covering some of those so-called loopholes in the business license taxes?
Yes, sir. It was presented January 15th to the
yes.
Budget Committee and looking for recommendations for when we craft our ordinance, but it may be impacted by what the state is doing.
So basically we'll just revisit this next month?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. That was a really good meeting. I think we've got some stuff accomplished. And the last item is adjourned. And sorry for being 15 minutes late. And meeting's adjourned.
That's okay. Yeah, that's good. That works.